There's a story they tell about a Yid who was a Parush. He was an isolated Jew who went into isolation at a young age and would sit all day and daven and learn. Would never leave his room, to the extent that even his physical needs, sustenance, food and drinks, they would lower into his room under the door and he would lift it up and he never came out of his room. As time went on, he started to hear voices on the other side of the door. So he thought that certainly these are the voices of Jews assembling from all over the city and the country to listen to the Torah he's learning and to the prayers he's expressing to Hashem. And as the days and months and years continue, the voices became stronger and more powerful. Him thinking that by now there are mamash, so many myriads of people who are coming daily to be inspired by his deep spiritual ecstasy. So he strengthened himself even more, and he began learning even louder and davening even louder with more enthusiasm and more inspiration to inspire so many more people. Finally, at the culmination of 20 years, he opened the door and he observed that there was a whole family of cats who were roaming the whole room around the door. So what he realized was that for 20 years he was learning and davening with a lot of inspiration and ecstasy and enthusiasm for the sake of a family of cats, the parents, the children, the grandchildren, and so forth. So what happened, okay, this is an extreme example of it. If it's anecdotal or it's true, I don't know, but I once read the story. But this is an example of it, that here, a lot of Torah is being learned, there's no question. But what's fueling it is a poisonous perception. So the Alter Rebbe says, here, the pniyah, the klipa now bogs down your Torah. And the Torah is actually in exile. It was driven away from its own home. It's in exile, it's subdued. It's being dominated by forces, by a consciousness that's alien to its whole identity. So the Alter Rebbe says, the Torah is now bogged down by a force of klipa, because that is the nature of the perception propelling it. But it's only temporarily till you do tshuva. Tshuva brings healing to the world. Healing, of course, means, the Gemara says in Yom Medav Tevav Amid Aleph, that tshuva mevir refuul oil. Zog the Alter Rebbe, shebeshuva yel Hashem, for when he returns to Hashem, gam teirasi shava imay. His Torah too returns with him, from klipa to holiness. The definition of healing is that the body becomes realigned with itself, or becomes realigned with the soul. Illness means that there is a schism, there is a partition between the body and itself, between the body and the soul. Spiritual healing means that your emotions, your feelings, and your consciousness become realigned with your true reality. Klipa is a cover-up of your true reality. Shuvah mevir refuah olam, you heal, you reconnect with who you really are. Don't believe, don't fall prey to the emotion that you're an egotistical, self-indulgent, selfish, self-glorifying beast. That's a koyach haklipa that exists within us. But it's a cover-up of your true nature, of your true essence. Therefore, our sages said, the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Nun Amid Beis and in many other places, the Gemara says one should always, we just quoted the Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun, one should always engage in Teirem Mitzvahs even Shalai Lishma, for out of Shalai Lishma he will arrive at study and observance Lishma. Lishma means for the sake of Hashem. Because he loves Hashem, because he cares for Hashem, because, which means there is real godliness and spirituality in his life. And Alter Rebbe adds one word, bevadai, this will happen certainly. From the Shalai Lishma, he will certainly come to Lishma. Why? Shebevadai seifei lasis tshuva, because it's certain that he will ultimately repent, begilgul zei, begilgul acher, whether in this incarnation or another incarnation, ki la yidach mimenu nidach. Paraphrasing a pasuk in Shmuel Beis Yudalit, concerning making peace between, an attempt to make peace between Avshalom and David, Alter Rebbe says, no one banished from him, from Hashem, from him, will remain banished. Lo yidach mimenu nidach. Everybody will ultimately come back. So therefore, even if this Yid is now engaging in Torah and Mitzvahs totally Shalai Lishma, yes, I have an ego, and that is what's prompting my learning Torah and observance of Mitzvahs. I want to become big. I want to be a Talmud Chacham. Zagdal Terebbe, do it. I, Klipa, is now becoming enclosed in your Torah. I, your Torah, is now being exiled and is in captivity by these forces of Klipa. But la'idach l'menu nidach, so you'll do tshuva, if not in this Gilgal, in another incarnation, in another transmigration. And then, it brings healing to the world, and the whole Torah now ascends, because essentially it's godly and divine. It's just it lacked spirituality. On the contrary, it was bogged down by Klipa. So now it will ascend, and everything will be restored to its true nature and essence. Now the Alter Rebbe used here the words, Uksha'isik shaloi lishma mamish. If he's engaging mamish shaloi lishma, lishum eizik pniyah, for an ulterior motive, for his own glorification, or another ulterior motive. Because in shaloi lishma itself, there can be various levels. For example, a higher level of shaloi lishma is, you don't do it for an ulterior motive because you want to be a Talmud Chacham. Rather, you do it, for example, because you want Olam Haba. After you pass on, you want to receive reward in the future world. Or you want reward in this world. Or because you want to be saved from the punishments of purgatory and so forth. This is not called Lishma, as the Alter Rebbe described, how you do something for the sake of a friend, which comes out of love. This is also an ulterior motive. But you cannot compare it to the above-mentioned ulterior motive. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchas Tshuva that someone who engages in Torah because he wants to receive reward or to be spared from punishment, Hareza Isaac Shaloi Lishma, in Hilchas Tshuva in the beginning of Perik Yud. And the Rambam says, but if you're engaging in it not for any other reason, because of fear and so forth, Elam Ipnei Ahavas Adayin Kala Aretz, because of your love to Hashem, Hareza Isik Balushma. And the Rambam says, Amru Chachamim, our sages said, you should always engage in it, even Shalai Lishma, because from Shalai Lishma you'll come to Lishma. But nonetheless, this is not Shalai Lishma Mamish. That's what Alter Rebbe says. This is not it's Shalai Lishma, but it's not Shalai Lishma Mamish. Because ultimately, although there is no true divine sense of transcendence that's prompting this Torah and Mitzvahs, but it's not about self-glorification. On the other extreme, there are lower levels of Shalai Lishma, even lower than those he describes here. In his own Hilchas Talmud Torah, in Perek Dalet Halacha Gimel, the Alter Rebbe says, interestingly, that when the Gemara says that you should engage in Torah and Mitzvah Shalai Lishma, it means, if you're not doing it l'shem shamayim, for the sake of heaven purely, but rather because you fear punishment in this world, or punishment in the next world, or because you want reward in this world, or even if you want your world reward in the next world, and Alter Rebbe adds, and even if the whole reason you're learning is likach me'atzmai kavoy d'gdulashi k'ru Rebbe v'yi Rosh Hashiva. Even if the whole reason is because he wants honor, he wants to become great, he wants they should call him a Rebbe, not just Rabbi, but Rav or Rebbe, and become a Rosh Hashiva. But then the Alter Rebbe adds, but if you're dealing with a Yid who's learning, but he's not even doing the mitzvahs that he's learning, it's not just he has an ulterior motive. He's learning and he's totally not observing what he's learning, then he's a Rasha, and on him the Gemara says in Tainis Dav Zayin Amid Aleph that Kol Ha'isik B'Torah Shalai Lishma Nasis Le'sam Amavis. That if someone engages in Torah Shalai Lishma, it becomes for him actually poison. So Alter Rebbe says, what is this referring to? That he's actually learning Torah and his behavior is totally contrary to his learning, then he's a Rosh. By the way, Tosfos in many places, in Brachos, Daf Yud Zayin, in Tainis, Der Daf Zayin, in Psachim, Daf Nun, that I mentioned before, in many other places, asks, a lot of times in Shas, this question. On one hand, we say, Lo Elam Yasik Adam Mitzvah Shaloi Lishma. On the other hand, the Gemara in Tainis says, if you learn Shalei L'Shma, Nasas L'Sam HaMavis, or in Brachis David Zayin, it says if you learn Shalei L'Shma, Noyech L'Shalei Nivra, it's better if you were never created. So Tosfos makes another distinction. There's a difference between if you're learning in order to gain respect, or the reason you're learning is L'Kanter, to knock other people. To knock other people, to humiliate other people, to embarrass other people, and so forth. This Tosfos says this already is such a type of Shalei L'Shma that you shouldn't engage. Noyach Lei Shalei Nivra or Nasas Lei Sama Mavas. In addition to the first idea, which Tosfos also brings it out, that ever brings that you're learning and you're not observing the mitzvahs that you're learning. It's a Shalei L'Shma that you should not engage. Which is not Klipa Snaik. Here it's Liyas Talmud Chacham, which Dalton Eber brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah. That's included in the La'olam Yasek Shalei L'Shma. But here you're dealing with Solus Klipas Atmeis. Here you're dealing, what is prompting your Torah? A consciousness that comes from the opaque veils that totally, totally negate any presence of divinity. This is the Klipa that's now imbued in the Torah. Once the students of the Baal Shem Tov saw him gazing at a river. The rivers in Russia and Poland would often turn into ice till today during the winter months because of the severe coldness. So there was a group of Christian peasants who were scraping, carving out in the ice, shlomim, crosses. And the Baal Shem Tov is standing and gazing at it, apparently with deep meditation and concentration. So one of the students said, Rebbe, ich verstehe nicht. Rebbe, I don't understand. Here is a human being who safeguarded his eyes in the most meticulous fashion, totally in tune with the divine energy of the universe at every single moment. And what are you gazing at? So the Baal Shem Tov says, Mayim is metahe mikol minei tumah shebo'olam. Water purifies a person from all types of impurity. Water symbolizes the source of spirituality and purity. Torah mitzvahs. But when the water turns into ice, when the water becomes cold, it turns into ice. You see what you can do with it. But then, the Alter Rebbe brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah a second opinion. And the second opinion is that when the Gemara says, La'olam yasek adam b'teira mitzvah shalei l'shma shemetech shalei l'shma ba'al l'shma, it's referring even to this individual. Even to the latter individual who we earlier defined as a Rasha. And Alter Rebbe says, because Hamayir Shaba Machziri Lamutif, the light of the Torah will ultimately bring him back to the proper path. And he brings a Medrash, Medrash Eicher Rabba on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah. There's a Pasuk which says, Aisi Azvu Vitirasi Le Shamaru. Hashem laments, Halavai Aisi Azvu Vitirasi Shamaru. I wish they would have abandoned me, but kept my Torah, because Hamayir Shaba Machziri Lamutif, the light of Torah would impact the person to ultimately come back. So the Alter Rebbe says, even this person, his Shalei L'Shma, even in the most extreme fashion, is a Shalei L'Shma that he should engage in, because the light of Torah will have power to bring him back. Even though there is, it's really connected to Klipa. And then the Alter Rebbe adds in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Talmud Torah, V'kach Amru Chachmei HaKabbalah, the Kabbalists say, that all Torah mitzvahs, a Yid engages when he is a Rasha, adds Koyach and Klippus, adds energy into the negative shells that obscure divinity in the world temporarily. But when he does Tshuva in this incarnation or another reincarnation, and every Yid is going to do Tshuva, he says, Kila Yidach Himenu Nidach, then he removes from the Klippa and sublimates all of the Torah mitzvahs that he ever engaged in all the years of his life, and they all are restored back to holiness, and therefore he should never prevent himself from learning Torah and observing mitzvahs, notwithstanding the intentions or the motives. And in fact, this statement of Chachmei HaKabbalah is also brought in I saw today, it's brought in Be'er Heitiv and Hilchos Tainius in Siman Tav Kuf Ayin Aleph. He says there that Chachmei HaKabbalah say this, that when you do tshuva, it comes up from the klippas and it's restored to holiness. But there he's dealing with a much lower level that he doesn't even mention here in time. Yes?
Do we say the same thing there?
In Hilchos Talmud Torah, Alter Rebbe doesn't bring this scenario of Lakant. He brings...
The last thing you said about...
So the final thing, if it includes also the Lakant, I don't know. Possible it doesn't include the Lakant, because he doesn't say it there. I just added before that Tosfos explains another answer in reconciling the contradiction in the case on the Lakanta. It could be the Lakanta or not. I don't have to research that. This is what Alter Rebbe is saying. But if one acts neutrally, neither lishma nor shaloi lishma, ein hadavar tali b'tshuva, then the matter is not contingent on tshuva and repentance. Elamiyat shechayzer v'loy medavar zel lishma, rather, as soon as he reviews this same subject lishma, harigam mashalamad bistam mischaberu mitstarif lelimudzeh, then even that which he had studied neutrally connects and attaches itself and joins his present study upar chaleila, and it soars on high. Since no clip of Nega has yet closed itself in his previous study. So you're saying it's good to chaz. When there was an ulterior motive motivating and driving my Torah and mitzvahs, so not only did it not soar upwards because it's a physical act or a physical world, but furthermore, the Torah is bogged down by klipa energy that imbued itself, that enclosed itself within the Torah, and you have to remove it from its prison, so you need tshuva. But in the former case where you learn stam, not lishma, and not shaloi lishma, out of habit, out of rote, it's part of your training, it's part of your culture, it's part of your system, it's part of your religion, you learn Torah and you observe mitzvahs. There's no spirituality defining it. You're a religious Jew, but you're not a divine Jew. On the other end, there's no shaloi lishma. Here the Alter Rebbe says, there's no klipa that's holding down the Torah, that's tying down the Torah. The only problem is that the deed or the word doesn't have any spirituality behind it, doesn't have any direction. There was no consciousness, there was no energy that was fueling it, not a holy consciousness, and not an unholy consciousness, no consciousness whatsoever. So it remains a lost deed that's seeking a home, it doesn't have any direction. So now, if a day later, or an hour later, or a week later, or a year later, you learn the same blot of Gemara, or the same Pasuk Chumash, or the same Mishnah, or the same piece of Torah, or you do the same mitzvah with Klishma, with a sense of Ava and so forth, so what it does is, it reclaims also that first Maisa, which joins forces with the present one, and is now sublimated into the realm of Kedusha. And Alter Rebbe says, V'lachein la'aylam yasik adam chuli. Now we understand even more why in this case, a person should for sure always occupy himself with Torah and mitzvahs, even shaloi lishma, for out of shaloi lishma you will come to lishma. Now we understand it even more. Ma'adach, in the case where there's a klipa involved, certainly in this case where there's no klipa involved, certainly you should engage in it. So here another scenario unfolds before us where the human being engaged shaloi lishma, but immediately when he relearns the same thing lishma, so with the previous study connects to this study and they both soar up. Well, this case doesn't need shuva. You mean the previous? No. Shuva means Shuva in the literal sense of the word, how we always define Shuva. Shuva is a project. It can be a momentary project, but it's a project. It's a project in which the person recreates himself in a certain sense. The person enters into a mode of introspection, charat alav, kabbalah alahaba, regretting, remorsing over his past, including his psychological elements that define his past, and opening a new chapter in his life and so forth.
But out of the year, it's something you can't act. Like once you learn to appreciate an apple, it's like you stop it. You must have gotten to that process to be able to relearn it.
You want to know, Ava and Yira is not an activity. No, obviously, it's a good question, but obviously we're dealing here with a person who knows how to tap into the forces of Ava and Yira. But nonetheless, for whatever reason, there can be a moment or a time for whatever reason, he ignores it. And then the Torah and mitzvahs are nebach, isolated acts, lost in a physical world. So the Alter Rebbe says, don't worry. The moment you relearn it with that Ava that you are aware of and you're in tune to, it will re-inspire the previous Torah and mitzvahs that seeking inspiration. And the Alter Rebbe says, V'cheine inyin b'tfilah shaloi b'kavonah k'mishna kasav b'zayah. And the same is true of prayer without kavanah, as discussed in Zayah. This is Zayah in Parshas Pekudei. A person can daven without kavanah. I think we're well aware of this phenomenon. So the Alter Rebbe says, when you daven this same tefillah with kavanah, it re-inspires and refuels the previous tefillah without kavanah and allows it to soar upwards.
How many tefillahs is that? Let's say you pay that tomorrow you go on fire and all the tefillahs are already brought up.
One second. So, for example, there can be a yid who said Rifa'enu every single day. Heal me, Hashem. Heal us. For a thousand times he said it. There was never really any kavanah. And then, Layalainu, for whatever reason, heaven forbid, something occurs, and the next day he says Rifa'enu, and his soul is there. His heart is really, really there. So all the Rifa'enus are sublimated. Now, Kuntus Acher, the last section of Tanya, the Alter Rebbe says, it is a concept of an annual tefillah that redefines all the tefillahs of the year. Because every year has its peculiar and particular energy. And Alter Rebbe says as follows, that if during the year you manage to utter every part of davening with kavanah even once, for example, let's say tomorrow, the blessing of Chayin and Adas will be Kavanah, but that's it. After Chayin and Adas, I start thinking about my appointments. In a week, one more blessing is said by Kavanah. But throughout the year, you manage at least once that every part of davening should be by Kavanah, so that tefillah is mitzarif, becomes synthesized, creates one tefillah, and redefines and re-inspires all of the tefillahs of a whole year. But the point being that the same idea that he discussed in Torah and Mitzvahs also occurs concerning the tefillah of the Yid. And the Zohar discusses it there in Parshas Pekudei at length, how that process occurs. And I want to learn another few lines, because here he continues. The Perek Mem is direct continuation to the end of Lamed Tes, just a few lines. Zog Dal Terebe, Perek Mem, chapter 40. But as long as he does not review this subject and relearns it lishma, ein limudei oila afilu biyut sviris ameiris baila ma yitzirevasi. His study does not ascend even to the 10 spheres, to the 10 divine emanations which radiate in the world of Yitzirah and Bria, not to mention the higher worlds. I'm sorry, not even the 10 spheres in Yetzirah and Asiya. Ki asfiris in b'chinas alakus. Because the spheres define godliness. They are what define the godliness of the worlds. Ubehen mislabish or misyachad eidin save baruch umamish. And the blessed Ein Sof energy is closed within them and is totally and absolutely united with them. And therefore, if this Torah and mitzvahs was not fueled by a divine inspiration, at least a mind divine inspiration, it cannot be defined as a godly act included in the realm of the spheres, which is one with Ein Sof, with divinity, with the all-pervading reality of Hashem. Ubalay dechil urechim ulayachul asalko lamekim kadam Hashem gemesha kasu b'tikunim. And without awe and love, the Torah and mitzvahs cannot rise to stand before Hashem, the Ein Sof, as discussed in Tikkunim. Rak limudei oila leichal zumedurin shein chitzayni yisayelamas. Instead, as Torah study rises to the chambers and abodes, which are the externality of the worlds, in contrast to the spheres, which define the godliness of the world. Shebehen oim de malachim, where the angels, the malachim, are situated, whether the angels in the world of Yitzirah or the lower angels in the world of Asiyah. As Reb Chaim Vital, the great pupil and disciple of that Arizal, who transcribed all of his Kabbalistic teachings, writes, in the portal of prophecy, chapter 2, that from Torah studied without Kavanah, angels are created in the world of formation. And from mitzvahs performed without Kavanah, angels are created in the world of Asiyah, in the world of action. So we see from here that indeed it does ascend to that level of the angels in the world of Yetzirah and Asiyah, but cannot connect and become absorbed with the spheres of that world. And the Alter Rebbe adds, V'chalam alachim ein balei chaymer v'tzurah. Now all angels are possessed of matter and form, of matter and energy. And what is the Alter Rebbe saying here? Maybe Reb Chaim Vital means mitzvah shalei b'kavana, Torah shalei b'kavana, mitzvahs and Torah that are performed without any type of kavana. You do it mamash like a computer, like a robot. So the Alter Rebbe says it can't mean that, because the malachim have both form and energy. Malachim also have a certain type of body and a certain type of soul. More refined and sublime type of body, but they have a container, a vessel, and they have an inner consciousness, which is discussed in various places. If the mitzvah and Torah would have no kavana whatsoever, it would only be able to create chaymer, but not surah. The fact that it creates a total persona of angels, a container and an energy, needs this Torah and mitzvahs also has some type of meditation. What type of meditation? The meditation that you're understanding what you're saying, or that you're having an intention to do a mitzvah, and so forth, which is the basic kavana required in Torah and mitzvahs. Even without that kavana that we ever discussed in the beginning of Lamed Ches, mitzvahs b'lay kavana, according to many opinions, is still a mitzvah, but obviously a very low level of it. So when Reb Chaim Vital says shalei b'kavanah, he means a deeper type of kavanah. He means b'lay d'chil or rechimah, without love and awe, and still it creates angels because it connects to the spiritual worlds of Asiyah and Yetzirah. But this is all what if the Torah and mitzvahs were learned or performed stam, neutrally. Aval Torah shalei l'shma mamish. But the second scenario, Torah is studied strictly shalei l'shma, for self-indulgent reasons, for example, for the purpose of becoming a great giant scholar and so forth, does not ascend on high at all, not even to the chambers or to the abode of the holy angels. Even the externality of those worlds are somewhat holy, but the Torah study with such intention does not ascend even to this level. It remains instead below in the physical world, which is the abode of the klippas. The Torah remains etched in the realm of the klippas. As the Zayar comments on the pasuk, what profit has a man of all his toil that he labors under the sun? Everybody knows the beginning of Kehelis. Ecclesiastics or Shleima, Melech says, Hevel havalim hakol havel, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Ma'yisrein la'adam b'chol ha'moli sheyamol tachas ha'shemesh. Dair ha'ilech v'dair bava aretz la'ilam ha'imedes. What is the profit, the advantage to a person for all the labor that he toils under the sun? A generation goes, a generation comes, and the earth endures forever. So everybody knows the Medrash says in the beginning of Kehelis Rabbah, Bikshu Chachamim Lignoi Sefer Kehelis Mipnei Shematzu Beidvarim Matin Letzad Minus. The Chachamim want to conceal Kehelis because they discovered there are things that can cause in a human being thoughts or feelings of heresy. And the first example of that is Shlomo HaMelech crying out in despair, Ma'yistrin la'adam b'chol ha'molei, telling a person all your work and all your toil and all your efforts is ultimately vanity, vanity, futile, futile. It all adds up to one big element of nothingness. and those who are in tune with the existential feelings of loneliness that occupy the space of many a deep person, not a shallow person, can relate to this in a very powerful way, particularly at certain moments in our life. My Yisrin La'adam, is anything worth anything? But the Gemara right away, the Gebedrish right away justifies it. What is Shleiman Melech saying? My Yisrin La'adam b'chol amaloi, is there any advantage to his toil? Yachal av ba'amaloi shal teda? Shleiman Melech was referring to his own toil. Toil focused on self-aggrandizement, perpetuating his own ego and his own legacy and so forth, my Yisrael. But Amal shel Teira, the toil of Teira, that's not Tachas HaShemesh, as Rashi puts it, that's not under the sun, that's Teira, that's beyond the sun. But the Zohar takes it a step further. The Zohar says a deeper interpretation. What does the Zohar say? Da'filu Amal de'Reis. Even the toil of Teda, e of it begin yakri chuli, if one does it for his own glory, then it belongs to the category which is under the sun, because it doesn't soar upwards, consistent with the tikkuni zaya. Even toil of Teda. But if it's done begin yakre, so the klipas motivating it and driving it, my yisrin la'adam b'chalamali, it remains tachas Hashemesh under the sun. It doesn't go upwards. It doesn't make you go soar, and it doesn't soar on its own. Zeshamur, this is planning gemara. Zagdal tereba again psachim daf nun, the same daf nun amid aleph. Ashrei misha bala kam b'talmud ibiyad. Everyone knows the gemara says that when Reb Yosef, I think, the son of Rabbi Shaul ben Levi, fell ill and he expired. Then he came back. I guess it was a type of clinical death. His father said, "What did you see?" So he told him, "Olam hafuchisi, I saw an opposite world, topsy-turvy world." And he adds, one of the things he heard them saying there is, "Ashrei misha balakan v'tamud biyadeh." Fortunate, happy is he who arrives here on high with his Torah in his hand. So what's Pshat is Teira in his hand? Literally, it means you come here with a full baggage of Teira. As Dalton ever know, Pirush, it means Shelei Nishar Lamata B'Elam Haza. His Teira did not remain below in this world. The Teira is in his hand. It was such type of Teira that ascended with him into the next world. Because that, of course, makes the whole difference between two types of Jews. A Jew whose whole life is defined by the fragmented world, even though he may live a very religious life. But sadly to say, it has nothing to do with real godliness. And then he ascends to the next world. But Talmudah is not biyadai, and therefore even his own soul cannot really soar too high. Or the Jew who scratches the surface of materialism and probes deeper in the layers and discovers the reservoirs and the wellsprings of godliness and spirituality, either embedded in his soul in the world of Yetzirah, or transcendental love in the world of Bria, and certainly in the world of Atzilus, where his Torah and mitzvahs become a spiritual event, as he is spiritual, and then he's balakan v'talmud biyadeh. So the Baal Shem Tov once told his students the following story. There were once two neighbors who lived right near each other. One was a great Torah scholar, a great Talmud Chacham, and the other was an impoverished, poverty-stricken laborer. The great Torah scholar would rise each morning before dawn. He would rush to yeshiva, to the Beis Medrash, to the study hall, and he would learn for several hours, following which he would meditate and pray for several hours. He would rush home, take a fast bite, and then run back to the study hall and continue learning and toiling in Torah for hours. Way after noon, he would go to the market, engage in minimal dealings, just enough to earn his livelihood to cover his basic needs, and he would right away go back to the study hall and continue hours of study. Following might of the evening services and a little dinner, he would continue learning and toiling over his sacred books till the wee hours, when he would get some sleep and then wake again and so forth. our poor laborer would also wake up the same hour before dawn. But this man, as much as he tried and strived and worked hard, he can barely bring bread to the table. His business and his work consumed all of his day from morning to night, as well as a great portion of the night. He would wake up and daven with the minyan, that daven, the very swift davening, and he would right away rush to try to make a couple of ruble to support himself and his large family. He would come home late at night exhausted. The only time when he wouldn't work Shabbos, and he would sit down and open up a sefer, 10 moments into the learning, 10 seconds into the learning, he would of course doze off from exhaustion. These two people would meet each other quite frequently as they were neighbors in the yards, coming or going, him coming from Beis Medrash, going to Beis Medrash, him coming from the marketplace, going to the marketplace. Each time the Torah scholar would see this poor, miserable, poverty-stricken laborer, he would take a look at this crass materialist and gaze at him with a real look of contempt. When the simple Jew would gaze at this Torah scholar passing the yard, he would emit a krechts, a sigh, and think to himself how fortunate his lot, how misfortunate my lot. He could sit and daven and learn all day. I wish I would be able to do that. And he would emit another krechts and he would go on to his hard work. It so happened their sojourn on earth was culminated, Zok the Baal Shem Tov, and they came on high where every person is judged. And the Torah scholar, the great Talmud Chacham, is brought in. And there you have this balanced scale, and the advocating angel metaphorically puts on the right side of the scale the infinite hours of Torah study that this man put in, the powerful hours of meditative prayer, his honesty, his discipline, his observance, his religiosity, and so on and so forth. And of course, the scale went very, very, very low, and the left scale, the negative scale, was left with nothing. Save one prosecuting angel came with one thing to put on it. The look of contempt. And slowly the left side began dipping. Dipping more and more until it became equal to the right side of the scale, and then it exceeded it. Then it came the turn of the impoverished laborer. And the prosecuting angel, of course, put on the left side of the scale all his mundane, materialistic pursuits and endeavors day in and day out, and there was barely anything to be put on the right scale. And then came an advocating angel and put on it the sigh he emitted. And it went down and down and down. It equaled the left side and then it exceeded it. The Baal Shem Tov said, that sigh lent credence, validity, and spiritualized every moment of his hard work and misery. And that look of contempt was the defining factor that despiritualized all of his powerful pain and all of his powerful answers. So this is Ashrei Mi Shebalei Kan Talmudei Biyamei. Have a wonderful week.
I thought it was going to be Tom Chacham, and we still did. I am hard busted.
You're asking why is the motivation to be a Talmud Chacham Shalai Lishma? Why do you want to be a Talmud Chacham? Because you're very much in touch with your eye. You're now saying something else. So Laya Maritz Chassid, you mean he's doing it because that's what Hashem wants. That's Lishma. Al Rebbe is talking about L'kvayd Atzma, the self-aggrandizement. His eye has a very, very, very powerful place in his life. How does your eye have such a powerful place? To be sure, it's very naturalness to be driven by the ego and the ambition that I should become greater. But Alter Rebbe says, this means your consciousness is detached from the higher spiritual worlds, where there's no I outside of the divine eye.
Where does the motivation come from?
But this is a very deep level, a level of Lishma. To have Ava and Yira means that you sublimate, you transcend your own I. What's important to you is truth. What's important to you is idealism. But one asks the question, what do you mean? I care about my ego. I want to become big. I want to become famous. Alter Rebbe says, I understand you, but you have to realize that this is a consciousness that originated in the world of action. Now you may ask, this is a very high level, even the level of Yetzirah. I shouldn't learn to become a Talmud Chacham. Why am I learning? So the Alter Rebbe believed that beneath the surface, you and I are not seeking ego. We're not seeking self-glorification. That's a shell that's covering up your real needs and your real nature and your real conviction. Probe deeper, dig deeper, drill deeper, and you'll discover that you want to melt away, that you want idealism, that you want truth, that you want to be absorbed into all-pervading reality of Hashem, and that can become a motivating factor in your life. And it might not be a palpable feeling. You know, we can talk about all these four worlds intellectually. Alter Rebbe talks here about them emotionally, to actually be there. So it might not become a palpable emotion, but it can become an awareness. You become aware that this is reality, and this is motivating your behavior. This is a sense of Lishma. This is where life begins.
What is motivation to learn Torah other than to be a Yom Chacham?
What is the motivation to learn Torah other than becoming a Talmud Chacham? To connect to Hashem.
To figure out.
To connect to Hashem. To become a conduit for Hashem's energy, to become one with Hashem, to bring Him into your life and into the world, to fulfill His will, and so on and so forth. But the Rebbe said in Perek Hey, the definition of Lishma is Lekasher Nafshel Hashem, Aidei Asagas HaTorah Ish Ish Kifi Sichlo. In Perek Hey, the Rebbe defined Lishma of Torah, the intention is to connect your soul to Hashem. But why should you want to connect your soul to Hashem? What is motivating, what's the motivator of such an ambition? When such an ambition? That's from the higher worlds. That's the consciousness of the higher worlds. You have to tune in to what reality is and what's not reality. What is reality? That's the real question. Is reality Asiya, as it's interpreted from the prism and the vantage point of Asiya? Then reality is ego. And Shlomo HaMelech says, Ma Yisrael L'cha L'Adam L'cha L'Amalei Sheyamel Tachas HaShemesh. Vanity, vanity. It's futile, futility. Or reality is, as seen from the counterpart, idealistic worlds of Yetzirah and Bria, not really worlds. Or reality is to be interpreted as Yetzirah interprets reality, or as Bria interprets reality, which are other interpretations for the same reality. They both discuss tables, mics, chairs, watches, glasses of water, people, careers, money, and so forth. But their interpretation of the significance and definition of these realities are totally different. So which interpretation is playing a role in your life?
Exactly.
Now comes the big question. Earlier chapters, Alter Rebbe was chiseling away that mitzvahs and Torah, the intimate expression of Hashem's will, transcend all the worlds and so forth. And mitzvahs b'loi kavana still creates a dira b'tachtayim. And suddenly here it's stuck in klippus and so forth. What happens here in Tanya? Before in Tanya, halacha, Torah mitzvahs, the technical mitzvah and the words of Torah that embodies Hashem's intimate will and wisdom, and you connect in the deepest way, and the Beinoni doesn't experience ecstasy, but he experiences intimacy and so forth. And Alter Rebbe said, the verbalizing, benching and davening without any kavana creates a revolution in the physical world and so forth. And suddenly here, there's a whole other element. It's bogged down, it's stuck, it's my Yisri and Ashri Mishabalika. But this is indeed the reverse side of the elements he started to explain in chapter 38, and this will be this will be culminated in the discussion of the continuation of the chapter. The next words,
both elements are true.
The next words, he asks, so I need your passion. Those are the next words, which he started in Lamed Ches, culminating with the idea that both elements are very true and valid.
Yeah, now you're learning, not being in Golis is even a lower life. This fits very well with what was said.
Because?
Not being in Golis is worse, because you don't exist yet. We're creating that explosion.
Very good. You're saying at least godliness is in Golis. Not being in Golis means you don't exist. You're creating an explosion that's in Golis.
Before, that was not his point. Before, his point was that was more of a breakthrough to get to the appreciation. And his negativity was not such a hard thing to grasp. There, he had to create, to build the building. Now it's kind of clarifying
the nature
the level that it could be at.
Very good.
But it's something for something.
So you're saying that in the earlier chapters, Dr. Rebbe tells us about the building that you have built. And now he's qualifying that the building building can exist on many levels, on various degrees. Okay, good.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.